This is Ozarks at Large. It's a new spin on an old idea, a farmer's co-op. Backed by Heifer International, a charity that you might associate more with overseas aid work, small and minority farmers in Arkansas are getting together to form a cooperative to market sustainably raised pastured chickens. In the first of a two-part series, Ozarks at Large at Sarah Birmingham takes a look at how an old-fashioned idea has been turned into a modern model with some early success.
Jeremy Prater of Cedar Creek Farm is the third generation of his family to work this land, 232 acres just north of Van Buren, where they used to have a commercial broiler house. They've always had cattle, and now they raise pasture poultry, hogs, meat goats, and dairy goats. It's a founding farm in the co-op. Just over a year ago, Prater bumped into Perry Jones of Heifer International. Jones is executive director of Heifer's Seas of Change initiative, and he had an idea to build a business based on sustainable livestock production in the Delta region of Arkansas. Another Arkansas farmer, Cody Hopkins of Falling Sky Farm in Searcy County, was in on that conversation. And when Hopkins went to Nepal to see some of Heifer International's work there, he came back convinced that the best way to help new and minority farmers in the Delta would be to form a co-op that included established farms like his and Prater's from across the state. As I follow Prater around while he does his chores on the farm, he explains who's in the co-op.
It's about 50% established versus brand new, and a little bit of a range in between. We also wanted a good diversity of what that population looked like. You know, we've got men and women, we've got several different ethnic backgrounds in the co-op, and that was really important for us to have just a general representative slice of what Arkansas looks like. We will be scaling. We're talking about, right now we're trying to decide how many farmers we can bring in next year, but the goal is to bring in new farms every year.
The co-op's organized around marketing and distribution. On the distribution side, Heifer International helps with logistics, delivering chicks and feed to farms and picking up finished birds and taking them to processing. That allows co-op members to use the bargaining power of a larger group and saves farmers whole days that would otherwise have been spent ferrying feed and birds around the countryside. That's time that small farmers still working off-farm day jobs really don't have. Jeremy Prater says all that's helpful, but for him, a big factor in the co-op's success is marketing the birds.
As small farmers, you could go to your farmer's market, and that's how everybody got started. And if you were able to be careful and scale up a little bit at a time, you could get to a volume of production to where you could work with restaurants, and everybody that's been in the farming for a few years has started to do that. But a lot of the really big money was either was at institutions that were so large that no one farmer could really get to them. So like a hospital network, something like that, where you had customers that were really devoted to eating this kind of food, but either weren't able to get to the farmer's markets on a regular basis, or if you wanted to, say, sell to their hospital's kitchen, their volume was so big that it would drown any farmer to get to that size. So as a group, we can all put together, and the co-op actually markets 12 farms worth of product, and that allows the co-op to sell to those bigger volume customers.
Bigger volume customers interested in this kind of food. What is this kind of food? Sustainable pasture-raised chickens. These broilers are raised in so-called chicken tractors. They're hoop house structures with old billboard hoardings repurposed as tarps with wheels on one end. The lightweight structures allow farmers to lift one end and drag them on wheels across the pasture to move the chickens.
It's about a 10-foot by 12-foot pen, and we put anywhere from 60 to 75 birds in it. And we move them up to twice a day, depending on the weather and kind of what's going on. So right now we're standing over 55-gallon barrels. So I do have bulk feed bins that I get feed in usually 6-ton increments. And then I run that feed into barrels and then bring it out to the pasture to the birds. Since the birds are always moving, the barrels have to move with them. So right now what we're going to do is we're going to measure out feed into 5-gallon buckets and take it out to the birds to feed them.
The birds are fed a diet of non-GMO feed and then get about 10 to 20% of their food from bugs and grass on the pasture. And as for those chickens, the chicks come from a firm up in Decatur called Peterson. They are Crystal Lake Freedom Rangers.
It's a naked neck that they've been working on for several years to just get the performance up and to where they really both actively run around and are capable of being outside, but also get the weight gains in a reasonable amount of time so that you're not spending so much money on feed. So these birds...
And I don't want to offend them, ladies, I hope you're not listening, but they're not the prettiest things.
No. As you know, the geneticist that we work with up at Peterson, he describes them as punk rock chickens, and that's a great name for them. They have 50% of the feathers, so they've got a little tuft of feathers on the top of their head with a comb, and then they've got a bald neck, and then their bodies are still covered with white feathers, but underneath their wings, that's bare again as well. So they certainly look a lot different than what most people think of a standard white chicken from a chicken house. We can get these birds up to 10 weeks old, and they'll still, if the door is left open to the pen, will be racing across the pasture chasing grasshoppers and things. And a lot of times, birds that big, that'd be a 6-pound, heavy bird. Most normal broilers grow so fast that their bodies can't handle that weight. And these have just been bred to really, really perform well out here. So they're a much... For us, for what we're doing, they work really wonderfully.
So, the co-op provides the chickens, the right kinds of chickens, helps with hardware for the pens, with distribution and marketing, and with funding that's come in the form of grants from HEFA, plus a revolving loan program seeded by HEFA International in partnership with community development financial institution Forge, based in Huntsville. And Jeremy Prater says there's more. The co-op provides both a formal and informal support network. Informal in terms of the camaraderie among the farmers involved, and formal in terms of concrete resources available to even the smallest members.
We actually have a TA, a technical assistant, that can travel from farm to farm, and that's their paid job, is to make sure that the brooders are good and the pastures are healthy. And so we actually have a normal industry person we call a field man. We've got that in the co-op itself, but it's somebody that's been trained as a sustainable farmer and knows what to look for.
Under normal circumstances, someone with 800 birds is going to have access to that.
No. Nor would they have, normally would they even know who to start talking to, typically. That's all of that to say, that's the only way you get that person from 800 to whatever number it takes for that household to feel like they're doing something, like they can offset an income. If they want to be a full-time farmer, they need to do it in a pretty short amount of time, because you don't have enough time to afford the loss after loss after loss, or just silly mistakes.
And the story continues. After a winding drive over to Charleston, we'll meet with Perry Jones, the executive director of the Seeds of Change program at HEFA International, and Ronald Arroyo, one of the fledgling farmers the co-op is incubating, and hear more about how the co-op is impacting communities around Arkansas, plus big plans for the future. Sarah Birmingham, Ozarks at Large.
The second part of Sarah Birmingham's report will air tomorrow on Ozarks at Large. Inside that report, we'll hear why some people think this sort of model can help strengthen local economies. That's on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large.